Bibles, I encourage you to open them up to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now I'm wired for sound, huh?
So the red button says.
Yep. Thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and we're going to begin in verse 13. Now, if you don't have the right version, you're not going to enjoy this verse quite as much. Because only about three of the versions translated the verse the way it's supposed to be. Believe it or not, the King James Version gets it perfect. Except you don't know which word that means when you read it. It says, quit ye like men. Well, we'll talk about that in just a minute. If you got a New American Standard Version, it'll come out okay. If you got the English Standard Version, it'll come out okay. The rest of them just says courage. Let me read it to you. Beginning in verse 13. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do, let it be done in love. That's kind of short and sweet, isn't it? Now, you may be asking, why in the world would he bring that in at the end of this passage? Well, the problem was, I don't know if you've ever studied about the church at Corinth. They had some serious problems. Let's see, what was some of them? They traded God's word for human wisdom. Instead of unity, they had division. Instead of being moral, they were immoral. Instead of having harmony, they were in conflict. Instead of order, it was disorder. Instead of righteousness, it was self-indulgent. Instead of being unselfish, they were self-centered and full of pride. Now, the thing they couldn't understand is that they had all the spiritual gifts just about listed in the Scriptures. They had them all. And they thought because they had them all, they were more spiritual than others. But unfortunately, that wasn't the worst of it. They thought some of the spiritual gifts were better than others. I'm better than you because I got this spiritual gift. They had sin going on in the church without anybody saying anything about it. They were choosing sides on who to follow. I'm going to follow Apollos. I'm going to follow Paul. And the sad thing was, instead of being a church that could march on in God's power and build his kingdom, they really limited themselves to what they could do. And so when he comes to the end of the first letter of 1 Corinthians, by the way, there was about four different letters. We only have two of them recorded. And from what we can understand and read, it might be good that two of them wasn't recorded because Paul really gave him a hard time trying to correct the problems that were going on there. So he just gave us just a short couple of verses of commands for you and I. The first one was, be alert. What does that mean?
Be on your guard.
Be awake. You know, it's really bad if you are in the service and it's your time to stand watch and you fall asleep. If you've never seen that happen or the possibilities of it, you've really missed some fun. In boot camp, it wasn't so bad because you really didn't expect a terrorist or an enemy to come in and attack a naval base or an army base, Marine Corps, whatever it might be. So, you know, you were just practicing stand and watch, getting in practice for the real thing. But let me tell you, in boot camp, if you got caught sleeping on watch, you found out what push-ups were. And if you were on the second floor, by the time you got finished, you were on the first floor. You pushed it down that far. Why? Because he's trying to train you that later on, if you fall asleep on the job, people could get killed. Guys, now by the way, I know the ladies are sitting, all right, he's not preaching to us today. We get to sit back and just enjoy. Know all the principles I'm going to talk about is applicable for everybody's life. It's specified for men, but it's for everybody, all Christians. We're to be on alert. Why? What are we to be alert about? I mean, we're Christians. We don't have to fear anything, right? Then why should we be alert? All right. For false prophets, for false teaching. In fact, that was kind of a part of what they were going through. Let me see how I worded that one. Erroneous elements. I had to really look that one up. I didn't learn that at Picnic. Pinecrest didn't teach me them big words. Erroneous elements. Guys, sometimes if we're not careful, things can creep in to our church and our lives. People can come in and make it sound really good. Teachers can make it sound like it's the truth. And sometimes even use an element of truth in it. I know one feller that likes to say it's in the Bible. Well, where's it at in the Bible? Well, it's just there. Guys, just because somebody says it's in the Bible doesn't mean it's in the Bible. I bet you there's a lot of people used to believe that cleanliness is next to godliness was in the Bible somewhere. By the way, it's not. A mama made that up somewhere along the line to keep us in line. That was Mama, first chapter, 13th verse, right? Of course, then you got the other element. I had a lady one time when we were going to become foster parents. And, it talks about spare the rod, spoil the child. That's not in the Bible, right? Well, believe it or not, it is not in the Bible word for word like I just said it. It doesn't say it word for word. The principle's there. He comes out and says it. All right? So it's there. They'll argue with you about it, but it's actually there. And my parents really thought that was a good idea. Well, that's all right. I needed it. Well, don't laugh. Some of you need it too. We didn't grow up without any sin in our lives, did we? No. All right? All right, we're supposed to look out for false teachers, false doctor. What else are we to look out for?
Laziness.
All right, that can very be. That's not the one I was thinking of, but that's a good one. How about the enemy? What does the Bible say about Satan? He's a roaring lion, and he's going around to see how many lives he can tear up. You and I have to watch out. There is an enemy that does not like us and wants to see us fail. The Scripture says, be alert, be awake. When he comes, resist him in the Lord. All right, so we've got to watch out for the enemy. What else? How about enticement? I'm using ease if you hadn't picked that up yet. How about temptations? I'll use the T on it. How about temptations? You're never tempted by anything, right? You're in your computer and you're doing spiritual things in your own line, and all of a sudden a YouTube pops up. And you see the picture on the YouTube, but you're not tempted to click it on, right? Guys, you just pass over it and say, wow, I wouldn't do that. I'm spiritual. You ever tempted? Have you ever looked at a woman on the beach? I don't like going to beach, guys. I got to be honest with you. Bad place for a preacher to be on the beach nowadays. I once went on a mission trip to Rio de Janeiro. Real bad place for a preacher to be on the beach, because they do Only partly. Not the top part. Some of them preachers, I wish you'd hear some of what preachers say sometimes when they're not around their congregation. They're not always spiritual. You're going, oh, not really. No, no. Guys, there's temptations out there. Satan lays them out, wanting to trap you into it. What does the Bible say about temptation? Does it have anything to say about temptation, do you think? There you go. Listen, therefore let everyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. Now I want you to think that one through. Pride cometh before the fall. You think you're strong and none of those things would tempt you. And there's nobody else around sometimes. By the way, that's called integrity when there's nobody else around. You stay the same, good, throughout. It says, therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he falls. No temptation has overtaken you that is common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. God's even provided for that. Hello? What else? We've got the enemy, we've got enticement, we've got erroneous elements. Boy, those are big words. How about emotionless? Another word used today is apathy. You know, there's quite a few warnings in the church to believers. You go to Revelation, you'll find a number of churches there that he's trying to wake up. But even to a believer's life. Now, listen to this. Do this, knowing the time, that it's already the hour for you to wake from sleep, for now our salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone, and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity or sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh in regards to its lust. Guys, he tells them to wake up. Well, why is he telling them to wake up? Did they fall asleep in church? Have you ever fell asleep in church? I can remember back when I was a kid in Alifi. I got some of the best spiritual sleep I ever got in church. That old preacher put you right to sleep because you know I wasn't listening. You wouldn't wake me up if I fell asleep in church, would you, Daddy? That's that little devil laugh there, you know what I'm saying? My mama would too, might reach over and pinch you. Quit, twist your ear. Man, poor Rick, your brother. He broke his ear. He twisted so much. Guys, we're to be awake, alert all the time. Oh, notice the next one he mentions in there. Stand firm in the faith. What does that mean? Stand firm in the faith. Guys, God expects us to be faithful to the Word of God. Not to change it, not to water it down, not to compromise it. The only thing is, to be faithful and stand up on the Word of God, you actually got to know what the Word of God says. It's really hard for you to stand on it. You know, I love people that say, that's not in the Bible. You hear that all the time. I was arguing with somebody one time, and they were telling me, oh, it doesn't say God doesn't like homosexuality in the Bible. Yes, it does. It says he hates that sin. This person was trying to tell me it wasn't in the Scripture. We were just self-righteous and was judging people. No, guys, it's there. But it's also there that he hates divorce, that he hates sin altogether. There are a lot in the Scriptures we need to understand and know what's right or not right. A few years ago, I really, really was shaken because one of my favorite singers that, I mean, sing some fantastic spiritual deep songs came out of the closet and goes to a church that says, that's all right. God's made you that way. It broke my heart. I really wanted to go slap him in Christ's love too a little bit, wake him up. Guys, what does the Bible say? What does God want us to be today in a world? The world that teaches us that it doesn't matter, that there's no such thing as absolutes and there's no such things as right and wrong. It's how you interpret it. How can we live in a world that says that? If there's no right and wrongs, if there is nothing that is real and right, how can we live in a world like that?
You can't, because it's chaos. You don't know where you stand. You're not rooted.
All of our laws were based on Judeo-Christian principles. If you were to read Blackstone's Law, you'd get saved. Because it talks about God and our responsibility as believers. Guys, the reason that we have laws today is based on the principle of God's Word.
Amen.
Now, it's crazy. A few years ago, we wanted to remove the Ten Commandments off the wall. The very, very thing that we base everything on. And the very thing that God says, the reason I gave you the law was to show you that you were sinners. Maybe that's the reason we don't want it on a wall, because it shows us just how bad we are. Guys, as believers, we have to stand on God's Word. But listen, that doesn't mean that you're to hate everybody.
Amen.
That's not to mean that you're self-righteous and everybody else is just wrong. Guys, I want you to look ahead. I know I hadn't got there yet, but I want you to look ahead. Notice verse 14. It says, let all that you do be done in love. Now, by the way, that's not just normal love. That is godly love, agape love, self-sacrificing love, the kind of love that goes out of its way to do the very best for that person. That's the kind of love. And guys, all of this that we're supposed to do as men, as the church, is supposed to be coupled with love. One of my dad's favorite books in the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. You know it. You've read it. It may be one of your favorite verses in the Bible. Why do you think it was included in there? Because the Corinthians did not have any love. Everything they did was out of pride. Look how good I am. Don't you remember when Paul was teaching about the Lord's Supper? They abused the Lord's Supper. Can you imagine? Getting drunk at the Lord's Supper. You know how much grape juice you'd have to drink to get drunk? Some didn't have very much money. They came and people were using it for an opportunity to just gorge themselves while other people didn't have enough. That's like poor Gary. You know, when Gary's here, he always asks the question, can I have two wafers? You know the man loves to eat because them things taste bad. Guys, you know what happened after they were abusing the Lord's Supper? Some of them were sick. Some of them died. You don't think God's serious about things? Everything we do has to be in the realm of love. You know, when you talk about something being a sin, you still need to include, but God loves you. Wants you to repent. Get right with Him. All right, we got to hit it, guys. Here it is. Act like men. What in the world does that mean? Well, I'm afraid if you ask the world, it would be hard to describe that. Because you get every term under the sun to go along with what it means to act like a man. Now, somebody's going to say, Brother Terry, are you sure that's what the Scripture says? Well, actually, literally, it says, be manly. What does it mean to be manly? There's a, guys, if you like to watch YouTube, there's a whole list of things that the art of manlyhood. How to shave with a straight razor. That's the act of stupidity. I just want you to know that. Just saying. I've tried it twice. I've drawn blood. Just something unnatural about a razor sharp thing against your face, you know. Just saying. So what does it mean to act like men? I had to think about that. What's he saying here? Well, actually, the term means to be mature. You know, I heard somebody once say the best thing to do for kids is when they hit 13, cut their head off, put it in a freezer, freeze it till they're about 22 or 23, and thaw it back out and reattach it. 30. Okay. And what they're implying is, if we could just get them through those teenage years until they started growing up and maturing, it'd be okay. But unfortunately, you have to go through those times. You can't bypass them. So what does it mean to mature? What do you think of?
Responsibility.
That's the first thing that came to my mind. When you begin to grow up, and especially not in this time, but a few years ago, when you begin to act like a man was, you begin to take responsibility. It wasn't carefree like it was when you were a teenager and abusing everything and stretching the times as far as you can without getting shot and, you know, knocking on your parents' windows and asking for money because you got to get your fingers sewed back on. That's a true story, by the way, in case you want to know. Responsibility. He's telling them, guys, don't you know that we are Christians and now we're to grow up and act responsible? Be the godly men and women that God expects us to be. Not asleep and letting things pass, not just drifting away from here and there to every wind of doctrine, but standing strong on God's Word, the only truth, by the way.
Amen.
Responsibility. And Raymond, this is kind of where that comes in that you were talking about a while ago, motivation. It's one thing to know that you're supposed to be responsible, it's another thing to actually carry it out. When I was growing up, I knew what mom and dad expected. That was way in the back of, I don't know what part of the brain that sticks in. It's usually not the forefront. And so you're thinking, how can I get out of this? I won't feed the dogs. Remember that one, Daddy? I was little, I didn't want to feed the dogs, and it was my turn to feed the dogs. I didn't want to feed the dogs. Dad said, feed the dogs. I started crying. I didn't want to feed the dogs. Do you know what he did? He got the Polaroid out. One of the Instamatic ones, that instant picture. And he took a picture of me. You remember that, don't you? And put it up on a piano. How do you spell motivation? I'd have loved it a lot better if you'd have just beat my fanny. Get it over with and you can go on with life. Had that picture up there of me crying. I don't know, brother. I was probably motivated to figure out a way I could get rid of it. But motivated still. You know, when you think of our lives, we've got to not only know we're responsible, but we got to carry it out.
Amen.
That's what he means by being men. You know, you sign up to Uncle Sam. Uncle Sam gives you responsibility and expects you to follow it. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. There's not a, well, let's discuss this thing. You do not tell your company commander that you want to discuss this thing when he just gave you an order. It don't happen, okay? I just want you to know. You're out there marching out there in the sun on that asphalt for about 13 hours. You can talk all you want to yourself, but don't ever talk back to the company commander. You have to be motivated to do what God's called you to do. And guys, you've got to have the courage to do whatever God leads you to do. You know, there's sometimes I have to talk to people I don't want to. There's sometimes I have to tell them what the truth of God says, what the Word says. And sometimes it's going to hurt feelings. I do not like to be counselor sometimes. Because you have people tell you all kinds of things, especially when you ask the questions. If I'm going to be a marriage counselor and I'm preparing somebody to get married, I'm going to ask some hard questions. And you know what kind of questions I'm talking about, don't you? And most people are very honest today. And then I have to turn around and say, now, we got a problem. You have three choices. Go get your marriage license right now, get it right with the Lord, and we'll marry you. And later on, you can have a wedding. Make a commitment to stop till you have your wedding. Or find a new pastor. Nope, that's there. I have to ask questions. I don't like asking. I have to because I represent God. And I represent His Word. And I have to ask the hard questions sometimes. And I have to give answers I'd always not like to give, but I have to because it's God's Word. And I know that God's not going to bless it unless it's done right. Amen? I mean, we got to have courage to do what's right. Self-control. It's really going to be hard for me as a man to lead younger people or other people in the right direction if I'm not going the right direction. One of the fruits of the Spirit is, well, let's go over them. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, got to work on that one too. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Guys, God expects us to discipline ourselves to follow Him the right way. Hello? You can't show somebody, you can't tell somebody if you're not going the right direction yourself. I hate that when somebody says, don't do as I do as I say. Well, that's the pot calling the kettle black, isn't it? Guys, if we want people to follow us in the right direction, they need to follow behind us. We can't point them in the right direction and say, go that way, and we go that way. Listen, guys, we're to be men. Paul just challenged the church. Be men! Quit sleeping. Quit wavering. Quit letting things go as if there's no God. Because, guys, when you live like that, you're living godless or ungodly. If you're not following God, you're going against God. There's no middle ground there. You can't straddle that fence. You're either doing it for Him or it's going against Him. I often said we're all a missionary. You're either missionary for the Lord or for Satan. Now, that's kind of scary. I want to be a missionary for the Lord. But unfortunately, some of my actions points in different directions. Guys, God's calling us to be godly men. One of my favorite songs was written, I can't remember the person. It was one of the daughters that did it of one of the groups. But they sang it. What this world needs is a few good men. Men full of compassion that will stand up for what's right. Not be afraid. God's calling us to be men once again. Guys, I got to be honest with you. For a lot of years in church history, if it wasn't for the ladies, we wouldn't be here. Because men didn't do their parts. God's called us to be spiritual leaders in the church, spiritual leaders in the home, spiritual leaders in the family, spiritual leaders for our children. But to get somebody to follow you, you've got to actually be leading in the right direction. Be men. Let's pray. Father, we live in a world filled with turmoil and contrast and conflicts. The world tells us not to be too manly, not to be too feminine. We get a lot of different ideas in the movies. Athletes. Of what a man ought to be. And no wonder our children are so confused sometimes. Father, help us get back to the basics of your word. You said it is possible to have a powerful life right here. About being alert, standing firm, be men. May it be done in love. And it also says one other word. Be strong. And it's not talking about doing all these things in our own power and strength. In fact, you and I don't have the power and strength to be what God wants us to be. We'll fail every time. The Bible teaches us to draw upon the strength of the Lord. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In Ephesians, the first chapter, Paul tells the Ephesians that he's praying for them. Praying that God would give them knowledge, that God would strengthen them with the same strength that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead. That same power, that same strength is available for every believer. Lord, we need to be men that's responsible. Lord, that we're watching all the time, alert. Not spiritually asleep, but strong. Men that show love and compassion and mercy. Grace. Lord, help us to be the men that you called us to be. In this world, they need to see godly examples. Father, thank you that through Jesus Christ, you can take a life and completely change it. Father, thank you for this opportunity to come together. Thank you for a time that we can celebrate our dads. Father's Day. All these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.